from the 14th chapter of Romans. Let me just read the first 7 verses, and we're going to do the whole chapter. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yet he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. The end of the 13th chapter, just 2 or 3 comments here. We were taught to owe no man anything, that is, get out of debt as much as possible. But we are commanded to love one another because love is the fulfilling of the law. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to hurt him. We're not going to take anything that's his. We're not going to be ornery to him. And it's just a blessing to live that way. We were told that it's high time to awake out of sleep because our salvation is nearer, closer than when we first believed. Now put on the armor of light. We all know about the armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Now we come to this chapter, and the whole thing is one subject, food and days. Verse 1 tells us, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, plural, all of you, but not to doubtful disputations. There is no question that there are some people who are weak in the faith, unlearned, feeble, unskilled in the scriptures, taught wrong growing up or in the culture from whence they came. And these bring to the church a huge history of learning from mom and dad and from their companions, from their teachers, and from their own feelings. And these things may or may not be true. It's an awful thing to say that some people's folks didn't teach them right. And there's things we have to unlearn and relearn. So we're to receive brethren who come who are weak in the faith, but not to get into a dispute or an argument or to be angry or hostile toward them because they believe something that's in your ears very strange. Verse 2 says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And we all know this is generally true. I don't think any of you have a problem with restricted diet. Probably most of you are like me. You just need to tone it down and not quite eat so much. But you'd eat anything but be still. Most of you like that. Some people don't. There are things they won't eat. I learned in the military that you can eat any kind of bug except those that have eight legs. You can eat almost any worm unless they're 1,000 legs. And anything living and moving has hair on it, you can eat it. Never had a problem with that, but I have run into people who did have a problem with some of that. So verse 3 says, let not him that eats despise him that eats not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. You got both sides of the spectrum. Verse 4 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he sinneth or falleth. Yea, he shall be whole enough, for God is able to make him stand. On the subject of food, that's what we're talking about. Don't judge the other person. God has accepted him. He may be really strange. He could be from almost any place in the world and have had a very different upbringing than you did. But the Lord has taken him, and we ought to take him as well and not make this an issue. It gets into the other subject in verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I really think that a lot of this that Paul addresses here has come from the Old Testament covenant. You know, they could eat such and such thing, other things they couldn't eat. And they had days that were special. We don't have special days. I don't know. I don't. I guess maybe you don't. One man esteems one day above another. The converted Jews still believe that the special days appointed in Moses' law were holy days and they should be observed. But we're taught otherwise. In Galatians, Paul says to them, you're observing days and months and times and years. No, do that. Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat, that is food, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. I know a lot of preachers that would take me to task about the Sabbath day. I believe that we're not under any obligation to observe a Sabbath day. So Paul went on to say, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We each ought to be satisfied with what we have come to believe and understand. But if someone says something that we haven't heard before, it's good to look it out in the Scriptures. What does the Scripture say about food, about days? Paul said in verse 14 of this chapter, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If you think it is, then it is to you. Never forget, my wife told me a story about her Aunt Flora. Aunt Flora was talking to Jan's mom. Sister Jordan said, well, don't bring no beer in my house. I don't never want her to touch the stuff. I don't want anything to do with it. Aunt Flora says, well, my husband has a beer every now and then, and I have a glass of beer, too. But she said, Lena, she said, you couldn't do that because you think it's wicked, and it'd be sin for you to do that. That's what this is about. We're not even talking about drunkenness. We're talking about food, drink. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Pretty plain. It shows us that God's children can and do have differences of opinion about food and about day. But both serve the Lord and give him thanks. But just remember, this is a good verse, verse 7 and 8. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. Therefore, we ought to live a godly life and allow other brothers and sisters to care for themselves. If people ask, they say, why do you do such a thing? Well, be ready to give an answer, but do it in kindness, not in an argumentative kind of way. Everything we do ought to be to the Lord's glory. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, to God's glory. That's what it's about. Verse 9 says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. He's Lord of all. Abolished death, destroyed Satan, redeemed us from sin, and he freed us from so many things that had dominion over us. Thank God for that. I'm glad that through the years we've learned to listen to what the Scripture says in its context, and it takes a lot of the edge off in life. But everybody's not learned to that degree about food and about days. And that's what this is all about. Verse 10 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. the very reason that we're not to judge our brothers and sisters, especially about these things, food and days, because we're going to give account to the Lord, every one of us, either as we go through life or at the judgment seat. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 45:23. Every knee is going to bow. We're all going to give account of ourselves for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. No exceptions. Verse 12 reiterates that. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall or stumble in his brother's way. In light of what we've already read, let us no longer pass sentence on those who differ about food and days. But let us live in such a way that we don't cause our brother to stumble over something indifferent. Things that are not in themselves, either good or evil. Frankly, I think this is a very important reminder for us, because who knows who we're going to meet up with tomorrow, that we may have to face this very thing. Read this verse a while ago, verse 14. Paul said, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. That's very interesting, isn't it? There's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If you think it is, it is to you. Let people have that opinion about the thing. Paul's conscience had been taught of the Lord that no food is unclean of itself. Now, I got to where I can't hardly eat pork anymore because it bothers me. I mean, it gives me a physical reaction. But if I can line up all of the hogs that I've eaten for the past 86 years, we'd have 1,000 heads or so. Okay, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 5 with me, please. I think you need to underscore this in your Bible if you haven't already. At least verse 4 and 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's the times in which we're living, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You'd have to be willingly ignorant to not know that this is talking about Catholicism. Look at verse 4 and 5. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, For it is sanctified, it's set apart by the word of God and prayer. I love that. How marvelous. Man, you can have porcupine and really thank God for it. If you're really hungry, you would. Stacy told me he tried it. It wasn't real good, but he tried it. But remember, if a brother and sister's conscience is untaught, what does that mean? If they don't know the Word of God in its right context, they can have a wrong idea. But be kind. To them, they'd be doing an unclean thing. So, remember this. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thy food, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. We can, and people do, cause others to stumble by doing what they know they can do freely. Their freedom becomes a stumbling block to other people. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 13. Same subject, different book. But meat, food, commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, Paul said, if meat, food, make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. I think that's a good policy. If I knew something offended you by my eating, I wouldn't eat it. But I have the freedom. I have the liberty in Christ to do what I desire to do. But I wouldn't offend you for anything over this issue. Don't destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Weaken him and offend him about food and days. Verse 16 and 17. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. That which we esteem to be right may be right in itself. We're not bound by the Old Testament law. You're free from the yoke of bondage. But this freedom we esteem to be good. It's a high privilege. But don't make it an occasion to injure someone else who is a brother or sister in Christ. The kingdom of God does not consist of distinctions between food and drink. Let no man judge you, meat or in drink. But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Personally, I'm convinced that even after we're resurrected and changed and have a glorified body, we're probably going to eat the Lord had bread and fish on the fire when the disciples came. And he took fish from them and ate it after he was resurrected. Another subject. So verse 18 says, "For he that in these things, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, is acceptable to God and approved of men." Men will approve our conduct when we live right, when we live in peace, and when we're full of joy of the Lord. He doesn't say the wicked world will like that. They won't even understand it. But God's people will. Verse 19, "Let us, therefore, in light of all of this, follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify or build up another." It's a hard thing to do. I'd like to live my life in such a way that I'm not quarrelsome and one that lives in dissension. To live with peace among the brethren. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." All of us are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it will involve the very things that we're talking about here tonight. Build up one another in the faith. Verse 20. "For meat," remember it means food, "destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense." So, don't offend a brother. Verse 21 said, "It's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is made weak." That's the whole object of all of these verses in chapter 14. In the closing two verses, he said, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth." Be an awful thing to be eating something that you had a bad conviction about. Have enough problem with me without creating more with that kind of thing. Let us not impose our faith or opinion on others regarding this. Answer them if they ask. Be satisfied with whatever opinion they have. Keep yours private unless you have an opportunity to help someone. Don't create a disturbance in the church. In the last verse, you remember this one. "He that doubteth is damned or condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin," that is, with food and days. If you don't have the belief and confidence that it's right, it's going to condemn you. What a man does doubtingly, he does sinfully. that is, with food and drink. I think we all needed to be reminded, I know I did, of this. Amen. Thank you. You've been very kind to give me your attention.